World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, we're a week away, man. We're a week away from all hands on deck, and I'm sure I'm excited about that. Our numbers are starting to grow. If you still want to come, I'd appreciate it if you go online and let us know. Larry's in charge of all the food, and he asked me last week, can you let me know by Wednesday, Coach, exactly what our numbers are? Because Larry and Serge and a couple others are going to be in charge of cooking all the food, and they need to know the numbers. We have currently right now, I got from Gary, we've got, how about this? We got 26 people staying under the big tent. It's a big tent. I mean, it's a big tent. So if you're one of those people, and just make sure that you bring something to sleep on. Now, listen, it's been a rainy spring here, and there's parts of where the tent's going to be that the ground may be somewhat damp. So, bring something to lay on, whether it be a cot, whether it be a blow-up mattress. Yes, we'll have electricity there to help you blow up your mattresses and all that. But if you're going to sleep under the – if you just think you're going to curl up on the ground in a sleeping bag, you can, but there'll be certain areas probably under that big top it's going to be a little bit damp. Just trying to give you fair warning. Okay. And there's plenty of hotels that you can take. Our numbers are continuing to climb. You know, we still have this, I really think the biggest thing that we fight against is we still have people a little bit uncomfortable about going out on the streets. And if you've never done it, I understand. But I'm going to tell you this, the going out to the street stuff is good, but the part that's most valuable is the fellowship and the new relationships that you'll meet and the people you'll come in contact with. Like, listen, we run a very unique ministry here at Coach Dave Live. I don't know of one like it anywhere. Really don't. First of all, going to the street is pretty unique. Most people don't even do that. But when I walked away from teaching and coaching, I didn't have to walk away. I started a new career back in 2000. I started a new career, started Pass the Salt Ministries, and launched out at what should have been the most productive years of my life. I was 47 years old when I walked away from teaching and coaching to do what the Lord called me to do. And I didn't even know what it was, other than I knew that it was Pass the Salt. I knew the salt had lost its savor. The Lord called me into that, and I've spent, what is it, 2019. So it gives you an idea how long that I've been treading, trying to do this kind of stuff. What I've always tried to do every minute that I've been in ministry, I've tried never, ever, ever to make it about me and what I want to do. Because all my coaching training taught me that you win with people. You win with a team. Not everybody has the same ideas. Not everybody has the same strategies. Not everybody blocks the same way. Not everybody runs the same way. We're all built differently. And even though the left has stolen the term that our diversity is our greatest strength, it is. And it's diverse gifts in a unified fashion. That's hard. That, folks, I can't even tell you how hard that is to bring together in the American Christian world. You just look across the spectrum of America. And look at all, just within the huddle, I've noticed and you've noticed there are people I'm not going to do it. I could rattle off names and say, hey, anybody heard anything from so-and-so? Have you heard anything from this guy? Anybody heard anything from this guy? Anybody heard anything from this girl? Anybody? I could run down the list. Do you have any idea where all of them went? And you know, most of them who are not with us anymore are not with us probably for two different reasons. Number one, they got offended by something. And number two, they had a doctrinal issue they didn't agree with. As far as I know, that's it. And they're no longer here. And so when you think about And somebody said yesterday, maybe it was Mark Trump. I can't remember who it was that said it. It was profound. In fact, I'm probably not even going to get it right. But and if we won't work together now, we're certainly not going to fight together when all the shooting starts. If somebody made that statement. I thought, man, that is the truth. That is absolutely the truth. And the ministry that we've put together here at Coach Dave Live, Past Assault, Salt and Light Brigade, call it whatever you want to, this is a ministry that tries to awaken you and empower you. That's what we try to do. And I get so worn down by the number of people who tell me I'm doing the wrong thing. I can't even tell you. I get two a day. Coach, you shouldn't be doing this. You should be doing that. And then my response is, well, hell, do it then. You do it. Why do you want me to do your ministry? Do it. And I can tell you, that weighs me down more than anything. People calling me and telling me, or no, they don't call me, emailing me, Facebooking me, that we're not doing it the right way. It sounds like church. It's exactly what church is. And some of you have been with us quite a while here. I've been doing this for three and a half years, right around 3.5 years. And I don't know if I apologize right now. I don't know if I've ever criticized anybody in the work that they're trying to do. I've never criticized or spit on JR. I've never criticized or spit on Larry and what it is he's trying to do. I've never criticized or spit on Randy and what he's trying to do. I've never criticized or spit on Serge and what he's trying to do. I've always tried to encourage everyone who I get a chance to bloom where you're planted, brother. Whatever it is the Lord has called you to do, you do it. I'm with you. I'm behind you. I cannot believe the number of people who still contact me and tell me I'm doing the wrong thing. It wears me down. It wears me down. Stop doing that. Do what, if the Lord called, I don't know why my phone, this thing, I'm running out of battery. Michelle, I need you to bring my battery cord down. Why do we have to be uniform? Why does everything we do have to be uniform? Why do we have to do it in lockstep the way, folks, it is denominationalism. Our minds are locked into denominationalism. Well, coach, it would be a lot better if you just don't go see Hillary. Here's what you really need to be working on. Really? Okay. Then you work on it. You work on it. Don't ask me to work on it. And I don't sit around here and look at your ministry and say, oh boy, if he was just doing this, I may think it. But I pray that whatever the Lord has called you to do, you're doing. That's what my prayer is. And if we all begin to do that, if we all begin to just operate in the gifts and do what the Lord's called us to do and stop being so critical of one another. I hear some of you say, Coach, well, you're criticizing the church. Well, I know I am because I think the church is missing the boat. But you don't hear me call out individuals and say, oh, that ministry sucks. That one's stupid.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Larry.
You know, one of the amazing things that I picked up from you over the last 10 years, when you talked about forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, the assembling of yourselves together, and you mentioned that when you assemble something, you put it together a specific way to perform a specific function. And what you just said about each person, if they're following the leading of the Lord, if each person will do their own thing and not try to push it off on somebody else, God will assemble all those different own things and make it work. We defeat God when we try to determine who's supposed to do what.
Amen, Larry. I bless Stab and whatever you're doing. And I would say this, Pass the Salt, we stand ready to help you in whatever we can, but we cannot be Stab. And no matter how much you think it's important, I stand with you and I support you. But I ain't Stab, okay? I'm not the Natural Family Foundation. No matter how much JR thinks that's important, God bless him. I'm behind him. Let me know how you need me to help. I'll help. But I can't be the Natural Family Foundation. And I could list others. I'm for all of you guys doing what you're doing. Are you doing it the way that I would do it? Probably not. But you're doing it the way you do it. God bless you. I'm here to help you and encourage you. I'm not going to be sending you emails telling you you shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that. It just sucks the life and energy out of folks, right? It just does.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. And Paul says this. Got it.
1 Corinthians.
Chapters, yeah. Verses 17 to 23.
What chapter, Jeff?
1 Corinthians, chapter 1.
Chapter 1, okay.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that is in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not of God. It has pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness.
Amen, amen, Jeff. Amen, Jeff. And again, all of us have different giftings in different ways. I'm not here to make a public defense of Past Assault Ministries. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm here to admit publicly that we are a unique ministry. We're really unique in what we do. I don't know if there's one like, I don't know. There probably is, but I don't know. I don't know. I went to Chappaqua, New York last week. As stupid as that was from some of you, it's a waste of time, shouldn't do it. What are you doing? Here's what you really needed to be doing. And I counted up yesterday. There were 18 states represented in Chappaqua, New York. 18 states. 18 states. People came from 18 states to be in Chappaqua. We had people from 21 states come to All Hands on Deck last year. It'll probably be higher. 21 states. See, our ministry isn't just me and Joe down at the pool hall saying having a prayer guide. It's bigger than that, see. It's bigger than that. And it's the fact that we are trying to empower people. I wonder where Randy Lunsford would be spiritually had we not called him out and the Lord challenged him to go deeper in his faith. In this crazy, I would say this, as stupid as it might sound, Randy Lunsford laying his hands on Hillary Clinton's threshold might be the most powerful event in his whole life. And people laugh at it. What do you think, Randy?
I agree with that, Coach. I agree with that.
And people laugh at it. And you came up to me that day and you said, Coach, I got to go back. I didn't say, oh, Randy, that'd be stupid. You're not supposed to do that, Randy. So, look, brother, is that what the Lord told you to do? Go do it. Isn't that what I said, Randy?
Yes, sir.
I didn't say, oh, no. Hey, if anybody's going to lay hands on it, it'll be me. I'm the one. I'm the head of. No. Randy, he told you to do that, brother. Go do that. That'd be good. Go do that. That's what I like about Mark Trump. Mark Trump says, hey, I'll help here and I'll help there. I'll help there. I'm not going to criticize. I'm here to help. I'll go help. I'm for all of you. Isn't that the attitude that we're all supposed to have? Aren't we supposed to be all for everybody rather than constantly telling everybody else where we're doing it wrong? You know something? If I knew how to do it right, I'd do it right. I'm not doing it wrong on purpose. I just want to get that.
Coach, who's to say that you're doing it wrong anyway? The people that are saying that are the ones that are either in fear or they want to be a Monday morning quarterback.
But Matt, right? Can I tell you this? Folks, listen to this. It drains spiritual energy from me. It drains spiritual energy, right? My mom told me this. She said, if you don't have anything nice to say about your brothers, just don't say anything. I think my mom was pretty wise. Right? It's one thing. Well, I don't want to go any deeper in it. I don't want to go any deeper. It's just
Your mom is the smartest one that I've heard this morning. Just put your head down. Coach, just put your head down and keep moving forward. You've had a bigger impact than any of these other, any of the people that have you referenced, but you have set the flame. Okay. Amen. They would not have started doing what they're doing, fulfilling their mission, had you not lit their fuse.
Thank you. I'm a fire starter. I'm a fire starter. It's what I am. I'm a fire starter. I'm an orthodox fire starter, brother. That's what I am.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, we love and appreciate you, brother. Thank you for what you're doing. If I would have known how to get on this show a couple years ago, I would have. I didn't know. Technically stupid, I guess. But I want to tell everybody in the queue that's never done any street ministry, I'm going to tell you this. It's addicting. When Jesus said, come, you follow me, become fishers of men, I tell my friends all the time, hey, let's go fishing. I used to love to hunt and fish, man. I loved it. But when I say go fishing now, I'm talking about fishing for souls.
Hey, and how about OJ? I don't even know if OJ's in here. OJ's one of the most faithful warriors that we have, who has, his life has changed because he's been part of this huddle. And OJ's wife told me OJ spent his whole life, all he wanted to do was fish. That's all he wanted to do was fish. And then they finally went down, they got a home down by the water so OJ could fish. And then he had this spiritual transformation. And all he wants to do now is go fish for the truth. He just wants to go. He goes to Chappaqua, we go to Chappaqua. We go to All Hands on Deck, he comes to All Hands on Deck. He's awake and he's like, that's what I'm most proud of. That OJ Eastwood is blooming right where he's planted, brother. And he's made a determination that he's going to follow Jesus. And that's what I'm trying to do. Don't follow. I've said it 1,000 times. Don't follow me. Okay? Don't follow me. But guys, there is such a thing as negative energy. And it drains all of us. I've seen it happen in so many different environments that that's not the way one guy would do it. And he raises his leg and he hoists and tinkles all over the way somebody else is doing it. We got to stop doing that, man. Now, there's a difference between in the multitude of many counselors having great wisdom and people giving good wisdom and iron sharpening iron. That's very, very necessary. And we all stand in need of correction and direction. We all do. But boys, there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. That's all I'm saying. All right. Hey, listen, you know what? I encourage Jeff Nell. I don't do ministry like Jeff Nell does ministry. But golly, I sure encourage him to do it. Jeff Nell would tell you this. I'm not bragging. I'm not patting myself on the back. I have at least once, maybe twice, financially helped Jeff Nell to get to one of these events. Because why? Because I appreciate his gift and I want to give him a place to be able to do his gift. Do I agree with everything he does? No. Does he agree with everything I do? No. But brother, we're in this fight together. That is the way that it has got to be. And we see people fall away because they don't like the way we do it. Well, I guess it's good. I guess, I always said when I was coaching, one of the best things that can happen is addition by subtraction. Sometimes you got to get rid of some people. Sometimes you got to get rid of some things. So I thank the Lord that he does the separating. But it always grieves me if I just knew why, what made you separate? And then I hear why they separate. Are you kidding me? That? For this greater cause we have to build the kingdom, you separated over that? It's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. I'm sorry. Do I feel like I'm in therapy today? Maybe it's because I got to go to the cardiologist this morning. Got to follow up in my cardio. Maybe I want to get my heart beating real good here this morning. I don't love all of you. I don't know all of you. Hey, I appreciate y'all being in here every day. I pray that you do what the Lord's called you to do. I'm here. I'm rah-rah. I'm behind you. I'm encouraging. If I ever say anything to discourage you in your walk and in the call in your life, you smack me in the mouth because I do it. I want you to do whatever the Lord says unto you, do it. You don't need my approval. You don't need me doing it for you. I want to encourage you and help you to do that. Come on in. Was that Randy?
No, it's Mark, Coach. I think that what you're sharing here, you started this off by asking, where are the people? Where are the people that's not in the queue? Where are they? You know, it's kind of like church. Do we round them up and give them a call? But then you talked about this whole situation with convicting people, basically, is what it's about.
Right.
You know, and we all get worn down. So I think the lesson that we could learn from you is you're getting worn down by the naysayers.
Yes, sir.
But each of us are out there amongst the naysayers. We get worn down too. And it's what we do. That's why we're still here, is we have overcome being worn down.
That's right. That's right.
And the others who aren't here, Coach, they're tired of being worn down because the conviction is heavy unless you act.
Yes, it is.
And then it does become addictive. That's exactly right. And that's the part. Yeah, and see, my challenge for the whole queue and the audience is the fact that I got to go back to work. And I got to give up a piece of this freedom that has allowed me to serve this way, this point in my life. So appreciate you, Coach, and I appreciate the lesson.
Amen. I just appreciate all. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach. And then to the naysayers, to those naysayers, you are as worn down as you're trying to make everybody else worn down, and you just don't know it. So.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to call, how do I say this? They're not naysayers because they have good intentions. They're not deliberately being critical. They have good intentions. They really and truly believe that if I saw it the way that they saw it, I would be, I get that. I don't think they're bad people. I think their intentions are good. Man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, and 6.
I hate it when you use the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, and 6. Oh, my goodness. Now, there are differences of administration. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. There are diversities of the way that we do it. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everyone. And then it gets into the gift, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, blah, 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 working miracles.
Hold on. So that means if we encourage others and help others, it's going to profit us?
That's the way it says, brother. Not only that,
it says we help others and we get profit from that because we're helping the body.
It expands the kingdom. It expands the
kingdom.
Wow,
these are good verses, Jeffrey. Thanks for sharing.
They are very good. And so the problem that we run into, again folks, I don't know if you can see this. My wife brought it up to me yesterday. She said, well, honey, yeah, it's just denominationalism with inside the Salt and Light Brigade. I dropped my mic. Wow. That's right. That's what it is. And we just, folks, got to stay away from that stuff, man. I'm going to tell you right now, if Jeff Nell calls for a battle in Fallon, I'm going to go.
Hey, Coach.
I'm not going to criticize him. I'm not going to say that's you shouldn't be doing that. Jeff, that's not going to do any good. I'm going to go help him. Yeah, Mark.
You're hitting on something here that's very, very, very important that Matt and I just realized coordinating this whole Equal Justice Tour thing. We're trying to assemble all these groups, right?
Right.
Did we assemble the huddles? Was that a focused effort for us to make sure that every huddle audience member, Denny's huddle, Portland huddle, all the different huddles, Pennsylvania, the ones in Texas. Did we get every person in the huddles to sign the petition?
No.
So I'm thinking that what you're saying is exactly right. And if we're not careful, we have denominations and the body parts become laying around on the floor.
That's right. They do, brother. They do. And see, you know, one of the issues people were concerned is that we were going to become a denomination. The what? What? Listen, you have to be organized at some point. You have to be a part of a group at some point. And I prided ourselves on the fact that we were pretty open. You come in here and do whatever you want to do. Can I tell you something? This is not poor coach day, okay? Bear with me. But I got myself into one yesterday I felt so terrible about. I'm going to go out to Portland, Oregon. Tim Tuba's putting on an event out there on the 20, I don't even know, my calendar just, my head spins. And of course, when you go to Portland, Oregon, it's not across the street, right? It's as far out there as you can go, and as far up as you can go, almost. It takes a long time to fly out there. When I fly home, I'm going to be flying home on, I guess it's a red eye. I'm going to leave at like 8 o'clock at night, not get home till like 7 o'clock the next morning to do it. And so trying to do everything I can, and Mike and Polly Heath are holding this event in Washington, D.C., Marriage God's Way. And that's going to be held on the 26th Matrimony Day God's Way. And I said, yeah, I'm going to be there too. I'm going to do it. And so I booked my flights to go to Portland, Oregon. I think I'm going to go to Portland, Oregon, and we're going to do 4 days ministry out there. I'm going to fly home overnight on the red eye. I'm going to catch some sleep, and I'm going to get my car, and I'm going to drive to be with Mike and Polly on Thursday, and we'll do the Marriage My Way over there. And then all of a sudden, I look at the calendar and say, whoa, what? It's not Thursday. It's Wednesday? It's Wednesday? And on my calendar, I had Thursday. And so I've been telling Mike I'm going to be there. I want to be with, looking forward to being there. But I'm thinking I'm going to be in Oregon, and I'm going to get home. I'm going to sleep a few hours, and I'll drive my car because it's Matrimony Day God's Way on Thursday at 10 o'clock, right? It's Thursday. No, it's Wednesday. I can't do it. And so, first of all, my wife said to me, well, honey, you can't be everywhere. That's true. I can't be everywhere. And it is a grand, it's a drain, believe it or not. It's a grind to do that. And I felt terrible to have to tell Mike, Polly, man, I so screwed up. But I thought in my mind, I had it I had it on Thursday. I don't know why. So those kind of things are happening all the time because I am trying to be involved with everybody and everything. But, you know, at the end of the day, wherever you are, you got to do your thing. But, you know, Bobby Lee never calls me. I never get a call from Bobby Lee. I don't even know if I have his phone number. He's making videos and organizing events, and he's just going around. But, you know, I'm all in with Bobby. And I hardly ever talk to him, and I'm all in with him. And Chad's out there. He's organizing events. He's having 20, 25, 30 people come to his house, and they're doing here, and they're going here. And I talk to Chad every once in a while, but he doesn't call me and ask my approval to be able to do it. Bloom where you planted, man. Do whatever it is. I will support whatever it is that you do. But we got to realize, man, this is, as Jeff just pointed out to us, we're one body, we're many members, and we're going in a lot of different directions. And we need to do all we can to encourage one another in this fight, not point out how we're fighting wrong. I'm going to quit talking about it. That's critical, though, Mark. This is so stinking critical.
Dave, it just comes down to the same thing that I've been saying. We offer all kinds of grace to the dark side people. We don't offer any grace to our own people. We don't. We're not accepting, and we can't just – I mean, look, if you have 10 people, we have – I mean, so what, 39 people in the queue? Well, you're going to get 39 different opinions.
That's right.
And, we just – anyway, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, this is
– Yes. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Thanks for taking the time to send that email yesterday. But when I launched Matrimony Day God's Way, I had this feeling that it was going to be small in number, and I'm really good with that. And you made the right decision. You know, you can't make it, and it's all good. And Polly and I are looking forward to being there. And anybody who can join us, you're welcome to join us. But one of the key parts of my vision for that was that you can do it from home. Yeah. Use social media.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Use social media.
Can be there with you.
Well, that was, if you read my vision statement on my website, that was the original vision, is that people would use their Facebook, use their YouTube. I see. Jared was over here pushing me. I didn't know why. So, God bless you, Coach. You do so much, and I've known that you're overcommitted for a long time, and it's great. God be with you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Guys, I'm trying to get the ball across the goal line for all of us in any way that it can.
And, hey, Coach, good morning. It's Kathy. Could I cut in for a minute?
Sure.
All right, thanks. I'm listening to you this morning. This is awesome. First of all, I wanted to make a note. You mentioned Telegram. Telegram, I'm just learning myself, but I've been on for a little bit. Laura Loomer is on Telegram. All I'm going to say about that is it works. She is blowing up my notifications on my phone all day long, which means to me it's working because I no longer get notifications even from President Trump on Twitter. I used to get those all the time. They've stifled everything. So I can tell you right now, if you want to get something out, if you can figure out Telegram, which I was watching YouTube's on it last night, to make it work for you, that thing evidently works. Where everybody else is being censored off. Also, Mark Trump, pardon me?
Go ahead. It's a closed group. You can control who's in it. Go ahead.
You can do it either way. You can be public also. You can have a channel and just blast stuff out. And that's what she's doing. Right. And so, yeah, she's blowing up my phone with all day long and all night long. That's great. But at least I get it. And that's the only thing I get with all the censorship going on. So it works. Also, like Mark Trump, I had to take on a little job lately. And if anybody wants to let me know if it's okay, I'll post my number in there. I took on a little part-time job that gives me versatility for a little company called Cutco Cutlery. Some of you may know about it. But they also have sporting knives, K-bar knives, really good fisherman's knives. And I get paid to sit and give phone appointments for 45 minutes to an hour. That helps me if anybody in there will allow me to, you know, tell me if they want to have an appointment. That helps me whether they buy or not. It's not pushy, but it lets me make my own schedule, make a little bit of money just by giving a phone presentation. So if anybody can at least do that for me, let me know.
Let me just say this right now. I sold Cutco when I was in college back in 1967. It is the best cutlery product on the face of the earth. I still have knives that I got in my sales kit then that I still use. And
it really
This is Mark. You can add me to your list.
Who's speaking? I can't tell.
Larry Richardson.
Larry, I just started, and I'll tell you.
Just put your number in the queue.
But I've already made some sales. But even the fisherman's knives, the sporting knives, the K-bar knives, even if you don't want the kitchen knives, and you can have an engraved for they engrave them for gifts if you want, like for Father's Day, whether you want the big kits.
Just go, Kathy. Just put your number in the queue down there.
Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, let's get back. Let's get back here to where we were. So anyway, we're for everybody here, okay?
Coach,
for everybody here. Yeah.
Quick note on Telegram: it's not a closed platform. It's not
okay.
It's like Facebook in that. It's better than Facebook in that. It's entirely public. You can have a channel that's entirely public.
Let's
talk about it off air.
Because listen, our communication is going to be the issue. Okay, it's going to be the issue. We got to realize that we see kinks in the armor all the time on the other side. I don't know what the powers would be. I don't know what Donald Trump needs to do something about Facebook, Google, YouTube, or we're all going to be censored. And I see that. Let's move on here, okay?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I was listening to Rick Wiles last night, and he was talking all about this stuff. He's talking all about the Facebook, Twitter censorship, and how, listen, we probably just need to get off of them altogether and start using these other platforms. Because people are complaining, oh, but my friends aren't there. Well, tell your friends to go there. Listen, we can't take... We can't put up with this censorship nonsense anymore. It's
folks,
ridiculous.
I have about 6,700 followers on Facebook, and then they don't get my messages. They don't get my messages.
No,
I go to my Facebook page. It's the same people there all the time.
It's a complete waste of time. Yeah. So
we think we're reaching the world, and we're really not reaching the world. Let me switch gears. Anybody else? I guess it's Flea Flicker Friday. It's okay. Oh boy, so much stuff to talk about. Hey, Jared, this is pretty powerful. Remember, as I was talking yesterday, last couple of days, I've been talking about the Black Awakening or the Dark Awakening that's going on. I still don't think people really understand what really is happening. And I was having a discussion with Michelle yesterday, and it became so apparent to me, folks. If we really believe in thresholds, if we really believe in portals, if we really believe in spiritually charged places, if we really believe that somewhere along the line the ancient be, uh, ancient rulers, whatever you want to call pyramids, charred, what's that place down in Georgia, the Guidestones. If we really believe in portals, openings of power through which the dark side can enter, I want you to stop and think for a minute about the covering that used to be over this nation. Yesterday when I was listening to Donald Trump read President Roosevelt's prayer from the highest office in the land, Almighty God being given his rightful place. That's what Roosevelt did. That's what that prayer was. Appealing to Almighty God as a covering. Psalm 91. Jared, pull up Psalm 91 if you can real quick. Folks, we have opened so many portals nationally. Our federal government has opened so many evil entrances into this world beyond what we can ever imagine. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Was it possible that there was a time in America where our nation was under the shadow of the Almighty to some degree, before we started allowing pornography in and divorce in and abortion in and homosexuality in and legalized gambling and on and on and on and on and on? Were we at one point, was our nation somewhat under the shadow of the Almighty? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. In other words, a spiritual protection that was over all of us. These portals, these thresholds were blocked. He shall cover thee with his feathers. What does it mean? He hides you, and under his wings shall thou trust. Not individually, but corporately. He was protecting us. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Shall not be afraid of the terror of Nancy Pelosi by night, nor the arrow of the FBI that flies by day. Didn't have to do that because we had a righteous standard over us. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Why? Because these portals are covered and protected. We're under the umbrella. We're under the shadow of the Almighty. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall be no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Look at America. I saw now there are 54,000 homeless people in Los Angeles. 54,000 people living on the streets of Los Angeles, California. How can that possibly be? Unless some protection or covering has been removed. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all their ways. What does it mean to keep you? To protect you. Those portals were governed. They were guarded. The evil couldn't get in. Oh, it would creep in, but it couldn't get into the degree that it's in now. Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. But now, we remove prayer from schools. Nancy Pelosi's taking "So Help Me God" out from under the plant. Don't you understand, friends, the spiritual significance and the uncovering that our entire nation has endured as a result of these wicked, wicked portals being opened? Somebody come in.
Well, Dave, I believe that we've got to close those. And we can close those. We have to know and understand and utilize the authority that was given to us. We can't be a bunch of wimps.
We've got to make application of stuff. Like Randy did. When we went to Chappaqua, you can laugh all you want. How many did Gideon have? He only had 300. And yet an entire nation changed on that one action. Does anybody out there right now, how can anybody watching this poo-poo what Randy Lunsford did? How can anybody laugh at that? Unless you don't understand spiritual things. If you don't understand spiritual things, then you can make fun of it. Say, oh, what a waste of time that was. Oh, ha, ha, 70 of you. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
Hey, Coach. Let me show you real quick a portal in the Old Testament. Jacob, when he's at the time he's wrestling with the angel. Okay, God gave him a dream. What did he see? He saw the angels coming up and down the ladder, right? What was that ladder, Coach? That ladder was a portal. What he was at, the place he was at was called Bethel. Bethel means the house of God.
Right.
What are we, Coach? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are that Bethel. So we have the authority to open the portals to the angels, the ladders, for them to come and minister to us on the earth. And we have the authority to close the portals of demonic activity, Coach.
Amen.
This is so easily to see. It's at our fingertips if we'll just use this authority in Christ.
Folks, do you understand the hell that has come upon America since the Supreme Court ruled that pornography was protected speech, First Amendment protected speech? Do you understand the hell that's come? Do you understand the hell that has fallen on America since the Supreme Court of the United States said you could slaughter unborn babies? When that portal was open, do you understand the hell that has come? See, that's why these are the things that we don't understand and we don't get.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, did you know that they're blaming Hitler for burning books? You know he was burning pornography. He wasn't burning literature, he's burning pornography. That's what people don't understand about that.
Well, even if Hitler was a saint in his private life, he didn't have anything to do with what we did. We did it to ourselves, folks. It wasn't Hitler that did it to us. We did it to ourselves. Yes. Come on, Craig.
Well, it was a crazy weekend, but I know that Randy opened some kind of breach and we stepped into it. I mean, we had Hindus out there in the parking lot asking to be saved by our Jesus. You know, it was just anointed. It surely was.
Folks, I'm telling you. Oh, well.
Hey, Coach.
Alan, they don't understand the Jezebel spirit and the Antichrist spirit. People do not understand it. And they don't understand. Hang on a minute. When we went to Chappaqua, we went to the belly of the beast. They don't understand it. Go ahead, Alan.
Coach, the bottom line is you're hitting this thing on all cylinders. You're doing a great job. The only thing that can shut a portal, a wicked portal down, is a porter, a gatekeeper of righteousness that kicks wickedness out. That word porter means gatekeeper. It means lifter of heavy burdens. It means getting messages from God. And unless we're living a holy and righteous life through the blood of the Lamb and through the power of the Holy Ghost, we cannot be a porter.
Amen. Someone who closes the door, closes the gate, right? Closes the gate. And how many times have I told you and people laughed at me when I said Donald Trump, I didn't use porter. I said Donald Trump was the bouncer at the bar, right? He stood in front of that door and said, Hillary, you ain't coming in. You ain't coming in. And the significance of him doing that, whether or not you think he's a righteous man or he's a Jew or he's part of the cabal, whatever, things changed. Look at the reaction to when he closed that door. Look at the reaction.
Coach, a porter, if you want to look at it in nowadays terms, a porter, if you're going down interstate and they got these big, huge concrete barriers, that little iron loop that's at the top of that, they use a big crane to move that heavy concrete around. That would be something as an example of a porter. We're a lifter of heavy, wicked burdens, Coach.
Amen. Amen. We are. If we could just get this spiritually.
Coach, Matthew 18, 18.
Matthew 18, 18.
And 19.
18 and 19. Getting that for me there, Jared?
This is the authority of the believer right here. It's very simple.
Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. But where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And Randy Lunsford heard from the Holy Spirit, go lay your hands on that gate. And he went and did it.
Coach, in verse 19, it says, if two of you, if you'll touching anything
Gray on earth touching anything. I mean, that's not, we don't have to literally do that, but that's how important, you know, the touching part. Sometimes it is important, Coach. We had to go to New York and that we had to touch that place where she was. That's what it was all about.
And well, let me ask you this. Do you think there's more of those?
Oh, I think they're everywhere, Chad. I think they're everywhere.
Well, we ought to pray for that today to get those closed.
Amen.
And slap them shut. We're not going to take it anymore. We need to claim it, you know, anyway.
No, you're right, man. You're right. You're right.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on, Chad. Go ahead, Jeff.
We had sometimes there's small things to do, too. This wasn't on the scale of Chappaqua, but we went Wednesday night to our Knox County Fair Board meeting. They want to bring in a beer garden at our fair now. So Pastor Scott went with me. I did a little poll over 4 or 5 days. I had 30 people against the fair board and 2 for it. And some of them were even guys that were heavy beer drinkers, but everybody was unanimous. They don't need that beer garden affair. So we went, that family from Mount Liberty that we met up at Occupy, the mom and dad with the homeschool kids.
Yes.
They came with me, Kelly and Christina. We thought there would be quite a few people come, which you know how that goes. They never show. But that small group, we went and laid it out in front of that fair board. Oh, they were irritated. About 30 board members hating us. It was just ugly. Pastor Scott, they're 30,000 shy, they said, in need. Pastor Scott offered him. He raised over $2 million for that group he was with for 25 years. And he said, I can raise the money. They still turned it down. I'm going to do the beer garden. So now the paper come out with the front page article yesterday of our gripes against this beer garden. So now we're just going to let it play out and see what the Lord does. And see if the people get upset. If not, we went, we warned them, and we didn't have to call you and we didn't have to drag you to Knox County for a little beer garden. But we got it done Wednesday night. So it was great.
Okay, so let's think about this a second. What the H-E-double-L-L is going on with our libraries? Are the libraries a portal? Is there something going on in our libraries that our children are being attacked in there? Hey, folks, are our schools a portal, you think? Is that possible?
Knowledge?
Or
forbidden knowledge, Coach?
Maybe, huh? Ungodly knowledge, certainly. Are our local governmental buildings, our city councils, are those portals? Are we, like Chad said, are we going back and closing those portals? Is the church going back and reestablishing Christ as the gatekeeper in these places or not? And can we just sit back? It's like, this is it. This is how it happens.
You're onto something.
I walked out of my house yesterday and 2 days ago, and my wife says, look at this. Our flower bed's washing away. I said, what? She says, yeah, look here. It's washing away. And I looked at that thing and said, how can that be? How can that thing be washing? What is going on here? Spouting? What's going on? And about 20 minutes later, it starts to rain. And it poured and it poured and it poured. And I stood there. I walked out on the porch. Said, what's going on here? And what do you suppose happened? I looked up and the spouting is overflowing right down in there. I said, well, my goodness, why is that spouting not draining? So I did something really funny. I got a ladder and I climbed up and I unclogged the spouting. And I could have stood there all day long and griped about the flower bed being washed away, or I could have cleaned out the freaking spouting.
Right. You could have done something, right, as opposed to just standing there watching things happen.
Amen.
It's the same thing.
Yes. Or by offering criticism of it.
I love it when a message comes together. Prayer without action is useless.
Amen.
Yeah, I want to add to that what you said about the librarians, what's happening in the libraries. Well, this is part of the army that was produced across the last 30 years, these human service people indoctrinated.
Yes, sir, in
the same school of thinking. They all went into these different directions, the educational system, human service, psychological, the leftover ones. We don't think about the libraries, but the leftover ones weaseled their way into the libraries. So that's where they went across these pathetic human service degrees produce these people with bachelor's and master's degrees literally to come in and control your life.
That's right.
Tell you what to read and how to think and call men in black uniforms to come with the CPS workers to shove stuff down your throat and your kids.
Okay, I got to show you this. This is about 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Oh, Jared, who controls California? Remember, I was going to read Psalm 2 again. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I was going to talk about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Watch this. This is amazing. Who really controls California? Watch this. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, guys, you understand California is under control of the dark side, right? They are everything anti-American, anti-Christian you could ever be. It's coming from California. We all know that, right? We all know that. And so we say, what's going on? How could all this be happening? Aren't those people awake out here? Well, watch here. Go ahead.
Pat Brown's father, Edmund Joseph Brown, was known for running scams and gambling operations in San Francisco. With the help of businessman William Newsom II, Pat Brown became governor of California for 2 terms. During his governorship, he awarded the Squaw Valley concession contract to William Newsom III and his partner, John Pelosi. The deal was criticized for the state of California paying for everything and getting nothing. William Newsom III grew up with the governor's son, Jerry, who was training to be a Jesuit priest. John Pelosi's son, Paul, married Nancy D'Alessandro, daughter of Thomas D'Alessandro Jr., who was known for smuggling heroin into the U.S. with Lucky Luciano and the Baltimore Mafia. John Pelosi's son, Ron, married William Newsom's daughter, Barbara. Over ongoing disputes about the Squaw Valley concession, William Newsom Sr. threatened to hurt the governor politically, just as Governor Brown was running for a 3rd term against Ronald Reagan. He lost. But 8 years later, the former governor's Jesuit son, Jerry, reclaimed the governorship in 1974. He appointed William Newsom III to a Placer County judgeship in 1975, and 3 years later to the State Court of Appeal. William Newsom was an attorney for oil magnate J. Paul Getty, named in the 1966 Guinness Book of World Records as the world's richest private citizen. And while serving on the appellate bench in the 1980s, he helped Getty's son, Gordon, secure a change in state trust law that allowed him to claim his share of a multi-heir trust. After Newsom retired from the bench, he became administrator of the Getty Trust and provided seed money for his son, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi's nephew,
to hold start that.
The Plump Jack
Gavin
business.
Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Go ahead.
To start the Plump Jack business that led to a career in San Francisco politics as mayor of San Francisco and lieutenant governor of the state of California. Gavin Newsom was informally adopted by the Gettys after his parents divorced. And recently succeeded family friend Jerry Brown to be the current governor of California. For 80 years, these 4 families have ruled over the state of California politically. And with the help of Kamala Harris, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, and Dianne Feinstein, California's uncontrollable state government spending has amounted to over $2 trillion in debt and the highest tax rates in the country. The homelessness population is on the rise so much that a typhus outbreak has reached epidemic levels.
Okay, Jared, you can stop.
Thousands of need.
Point being what?
Unbelievable.
Is that unbelievable, huh? Family business, right? Look at the Clintons, family business. Right now they want Chelsea to be involved. You look everywhere, these pockets of these things are happening to us. So we as Christians then, coming back to what Chad said, do we understand the spiritual significance? Can we block, as Christians, the ones who have the authority of Christ, can we block those portals? Can we cut off the power of that darkness? I say we can.
Absolutely.
We don't even know we're supposed to.
You can bet your bottom dollar the other side understands this stuff.
Yeah, brother, huh?
We see it every day. We see it every day. Well, think about this. Everybody wants Trump's tax returns, right? We know he paid $38 million in 2005. How come we're not asking for Nancy Pelosi's tax returns or Maxine Waters? Don't they both live in mansions? Don't they get both?
Because why? Because Nancy Pelosi runs the House and Feinstein pretty much runs the Senate.
So I guess we don't want to know where they got their money from. That's the question.
Vinny, they won't investigate each other. Listen, they won't investigate each other. And the core of corruption, of intermixing of money, is so deep in Washington, D.C., that when you hook one, you hook them all. That's why.
Yeah, it's not up to them. It's up to us. It's supposed to be doing our business, not their own bloody business.
Vinny, that's why we're here. That's what I say over and over and over. We cannot count on them to do what we are going to have to do, which means sometimes on the chat. Come on now.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Coach, that seal, that goddess that's over the seal of California is one of the same goddesses that's under the Capitol Rotunda, Coach. Minerva, same goddess.
Amen. Amen. Hey,
Coach, is it any accident that God has given us some information and knowledge and understanding at this time to do what? To go expose them. You can't do it in the natural, Coach, because the system, you can't even get close. You have to do it in the spiritual realm, and that's the only way, Coach. And that's what we're seeing and understanding right now in real time.
Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That is the call for the Christian. We're to expose them. Roger.
Well, I was going to say also in that is this issue of not being yoked with them. You know, not to be a part of it.
But we are, right? We are.
Well, absolutely.
That dives into the whole 501c3 thing of churches. And oh, my goodness. Oh,
hey,
my
Coach,
goodness.
We'll come back to the same thing that you started with. Everybody's responsible for the portals that they open in their own houses. You were talking about the libraries, the colleges, and the schools. Well, at your house, you have TVs and you have computers and you have your smart or dumb phone. The point is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the responsibilities that if you open an evil portal, it's your responsibility to close it down. And if everybody does that in their own house, and then that's referring back to what you were saying, everybody, whatever they do in the huddle, you know, it can't, like Jeff, his stuff is not the same thing that you do. So when you do that at your house, this is where the responsibility starts. And then we can tackle the bigger things like Chappaqua, like the state of California. State of California right now is going straight to hell. I mean, there's just no saving them.
So, Vic, so yesterday, just yesterday morning, I heard our cat, Opie, he starts, rah, rah. I know, oh, something's up. Something's up. What's up? Something's up. I know what it is. Lester, my daughter's cat up top of the hill. Lester has made it into my house. How did Lester get into my house? I walked over and there the back door was open just a little bit and Lester came in and Lester snuck in our door and he's raising hell in our house. And what did I do? I went over and I grabbed Lester by the back of his neck. I picked him up. I threw him out the door and I shut the door. Get out of here.
Amen, Coach.
Amen.
It's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. We're opening portals into our own lives. We're opening portals in our local governmental lives. We're opening up portals everywhere. And we have got to become to the point where we are not ignorant of his devices. We understand what's going on. And we need to fight back in an appropriate way. Hey, listen, Get online, register All Hands on Deck. You're going to get to hug some of these guys that you've only seen on TV. Jared's going to be there. Big old Jared's coming. They're all coming. Trump's coming. Roger even said he's coming. We'll see if he usually brings fireworks. We'll see if he does. Mike Blake's opening up his place. It's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship, and we're going to do a little bit of ministry mixed in with it. Come on, man. Get online. Join us. Come and be with us. It's going to be a life-changing event. Have a great weekend. Hey. We'll see you Monday.
Amen.